Well, good morning. So we're doing this series, and we're continuing this series, Learning to Stand. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. The reason we're doing this series is because when I finished the last one, just before I finished, actually, the Lord was already bringing word, and he was letting me know that he wanted me to teach the folks how to stand, to prepare, to get ready, and to be able to stand up on the word of God and to face the enemy. And so in the first session, that very, very first week, we talked about a lot of things, and you see that on the screen now, teach my people to be prepared and then to stand against the enemy and his attacks. So the first week that we talked about to not lie down. That was our first sermon series, and talked about to not lie down. And you know, in other words, to not quit, do not stop, and don't do that. And then the next week we talked about do not roll over, which means don't go along with what the world does. Don't give in. Don't start doing what other people want you to do, but follow the Lord, stay with the Lord, and do what he wants you to do. My third week here is do not submit to Satan and his deceptive lies. So it says to not to submit to Satan and his deceptive lies. In other words, you know, don't give in to it. Don't begin to follow it or be a part of this. We want you to realize that we're not supposed to do that. And when I was preparing this message, one of the things that I was looking at is that lies, whether directly or indirectly from Satan, they have a tendency to derail us from God's best. They can derail us from God's best. And we need to understand, I'm going to get a little closer, we need to understand that Satan can do this to us, okay? Satan can do this. He can derail us. He can keep us from doing what God wants us to do. So I used some scripture to kind of identify Satan and who Satan was and what his intentions are. And so I looked at the scripture and I found John 8:44, and it says, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar and the father of lies." That's who he is. This was Jesus talking about Satan. He's the thief. He's the thief that comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And when we need to remember that, he can also disguise himself. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Deception is one of his tricks. He's really good. In fact, his main deceptive trick that he uses on us is the first lie that he ever did towards humans, which is found in Genesis. And so what I did actually was I looked at every time Satan encounters humans or encounter Jesus. What did he say? What was the lies that he was saying? What was he speaking into existence? And as I looked at that, I began to see a pattern. I actually saw that Satan uses like five tactics against us. And he's got five ways that he tries to deceive us. And here's the first one. Did God really say that? That was the first thing he ever said to Eve in the garden. And so he'll say, "Did God really say that?" Now, the reason he does that is because what he's trying to do is he's trying to get us to doubt, question God. And so you'll hear that from the world, too. Did God really say that? Is that what it really means in the Bible? Is that really true? Maybe you even feel a call. You feel like a call to do something, to work for the Lord and to minister a church or to teach a Sunday Bible school, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, you'll start to question because maybe things get a little rocky or things happen. And you go, "Did God really say that? Is that really what he told me to do? And so you'll hear that in your head. You'll hear those voices. You'll hear it from the world. They'll say, but did God really say that? Did he really mean that? Does that apply still today? Or was that just, you know, did God really say that? So this is one of his tactics that he will use, is to get us to question God, his word, his promises, his truth. The second thing that he does is, if that doesn't work, he will just come right out and say, God did not say that. God did not say that. You heard wrong. That's not it. This is the second tactic. So if just questioning it to cause doubt doesn't work, then he'll just come right out and confront you and say, God did not say that. The third tactic he will do is he'll offer you something else. Sometimes it's something good. I know a lot of ministers who left ministry and they had the call and God called them to preach. But all of a sudden this offer comes along and it's a lot of money, less hassle, benefits. And they think, well, God gave that to me. And they'll ignore their call because they'll question the call and then they'll go do something else. Sometimes we get offered something else. Sometimes it's temptation. Do you know why young people who were raised in the church quit the church? They won't tell you this, but when we've done studies and we've kind of figured it out, we know why it happens. Do you know why it really happens? Because it's too hard. It's hard. You know, there's desires of the flesh. There's things that they want to do. And they realize they can't live in the world and live for the Lord, and it becomes too difficult. Because bless our young people, they get it. They actually understand that they can't walk both sides of the fence. And so when it gets to be so that the desires are taking over and, you know, and it conflicts so much with their faith, often they'll let their faith go. Well, those were just nice stories. It's not really real. They'll start to find things wrong. So Satan does that. He will tempt us. He will tempt us with our desires of the flesh, desires of the world. He'll tempt us with good things, anything he can to remove us from where we need to be. And we saw that with Jesus. When Satan confronted Jesus, one of the things that he did was he offered him, if you will just bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this that you see, all the kingdoms of the world. He offered him something. Now, here's the thing you need to understand. Satan can't really deliver on most of his promises. And usually, when you follow, it only leads to destruction, ultimately. Sometimes shame, guilt, brokenness. But this is a tactic that he uses. He'll offer you something else. The other thing he'll do is he'll question who you are in relationship to God. You're not really saved. He'll bring up all your past sins, everything you've ever done wrong, call you a hypocrite. You'll hear it. You'll hear it in your head. You may even hear it from people around you. Because Satan works that way. So he'll question who you are in relationship to God. Are you really saved? You're not really saved. You're not a child of God. You're just a sinner. You're just no good. You're never nothing. You're not going to amount to anything. You're never going to be anything. He'll tell you. You're a failure. He'll tell you those things, but that's deception. And all the whole goal is just to stop you. It's just to stop you from growing in the Lord, from following him, from doing what you need to be doing. The whole thing is designed to just stop you in tracks and to miss the blessings of God. And if he can turn you away, that's even better. Remember that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the last tactic he will use is he'll just create fear. If none of the others work, then he's going to try to sell you that he's bigger and badder and stronger and make you think that you don't have a prayer. But I'm going to tell you what. You can do all things in those who believe in Christ Jesus. If you believe, you can do all things. Jesus, there's no one greater than your God. No one stronger. No one better. No one more than him. That's why he tries to get you to question who you are in relation to him. But let me tell you what, if you know you're a child of God, if you know that he separates your sins as far as the east is to the west, if you know that he loves you, if you know that he died for you, if you know that he wants you and that he's looking out for you and he is your shepherd, there is no reason to fear. Because no weapon formed against you will prosper. You have to know that your God is just great. But this is a tactic of the enemy. He'll create fear. Fear somehow you will fail or you'll be destroyed or that, you know, what people are saying about you. Fear. Remember, your God is so much greater. So how do we combat the lies? How do we do that? Because no matter what the lie is, it really just breaks down into those tactics. What do we do? And I'm going to tell you what, I came up with four things that we can do to combat Satan and the lies that are spoken into us. And again, those can come from external sources, from people you know, or strangers, or the news media of the world, or sometimes it can be just those thoughts that play in your head at night. How do you combat that? How do you combat what's happening to you? So let's look at a scripture here. This scripture in 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." That's what he does. Now this gives us our first defense against his tactics, which is to do this. Pay attention. Be sober-minded. Watch. Pay attention. When you notice that your thought process is going down that negative aisle of self-hatred or self-defeat, failure, or you're feeling fear, if you pay attention to what's happening to yourself, pay attention to what other people are saying to you. Sometimes it's subtle, but they're saying and speaking into you negativity. They're saying negative things. It's creating doubt. It's creating issues. So you have to pay attention to what's happening. That way that you will know that you're under attack. There's so many times we're under spiritual attack and we don't even realize it. We think it's us. Or we think it's we're, you know, at odds with somebody else. But the reality is that the enemy is attacking. And you have to speak against him. And if you don't know what's happening, if you're not paying attention, you can fall prey real easy. So the first mechanism, the first tool in our arsenal to combat the enemy is to pay attention. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. I tell you what, scripture, you know, always quote scripture when that's the way. I tell you what, people who are not right with the Lord, they'll tell you, don't you quote scripture to me because they don't want to hear it. That's what will happen. All scripture, God's word is truth, it should be spoken. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And your best weapon against the enemy, when you are having trouble sleeping in the middle of the night, when those voices are in your head, is to quote the scripture. For example, if you're hearing that you're nothing, you'll never amount to anything, I am a child of God. My God will never leave me. Nor forsake me, he will be with me always, even until the end. That's how Jesus defeated Satan. Satan He took and he would offer him things. He even quoted scripture, but he used it for his purposes. He had an agenda when he quoted scripture. And he twisted it, so it wasn't quite right. And I'm going to tell you what, if someone's quoting scripture to you and they're doing it themselves, then that's not good either. You have to know what your scripture is. So if it's twisted just that much, you'll be able to come back and say, no, this is what it really says. This was the heart of it. This was the intent of it. This is what it really means. If you're feeling like that's a better offer, then you have to say, God does not rescind his call. That's a scripture. You have to remember, you cannot serve both God and mammon. You see what I'm saying? But you know what? That affair may not be such a bad thing, and God wants me to be happy. No, there is no scripture that says God wants you to be happy. The scripture is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you see how it works? Know your scripture. Be able to know it when you need it. If you don't, then get into the Word. Read the scripture. It's very important. The next part of that verse 76, is that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That's how we're complete. That's how we're equipped, is when we know the Word of God. That is our truth and only our truth. Everything else is a lie. If you're hearing about a sin that you've already confessed to the Lord and you have laid at the cross, and he says he separated that, and he's cleansed you, and he's made you white as snow, you should not. That is the enemy speaking. That is not the Lord speaking. And in order to be equipped for every good work, so that that doesn't be a stumbling block and keeps you from serving the Lord and doing what you need to do, you need to remind yourself and the enemy that God says that I am clean. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have to remember what he did for you. This passage actually kind of brings us in. Once you know your scripture, you can proclaim your scripture. Let's look at this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You abide in my word, if you stay in my word, if you hold on to it, if you study it and know it, you are truly my disciples. And when you know the truth, you proclaim it. Just like here. Oh, let me throw this verse in there real quick. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when you abide in it, you will know the truth, and you will be set free. You will. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. This was Jesus quoting scripture to Satan. And sometimes we have to quote it to him. We need to proclaim it. And other times, we have to realize that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There are times when you will have to recognize that your struggle is not with each other. That person really is not your enemy. But there is something that is happening spiritually. I've had this happen. I've had this where I've been talking to Noelle and I have said something and she heard something totally different. We've often talked about this and she has said something and I have heard something totally different. Y'all ever experienced that with anybody ever? What causes that? I realize sometimes there's listening issues, but sometimes I have to wonder, If there's not an enemy afoot, and sometimes what's being said is not being heard right, or it's definitely not being heard in the spirit that it's being conveyed. You know, I've had situations where I've said something and somebody's repeated it back to me, and I'll say, I didn't say that. That's not what I said. But it was twisted just that much. And you may experience that too. When you're seeing that happen, you need to rebuke whatever's going on. You've got to be asking God to deal with it. Because sometimes the struggle's not with each other. But when it happens, if there is a person in your life who is trying to get you to do something you know you should not be doing, and they do not have the mind of God, if they're trying to speak into you to get you to sin, if they're flirting with you and you know they're married, if they're doing anything that will cause you harm, you need to do what Jesus did when Peter was doing that. Jesus knew that he was to go to the cross. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what God had asked him to do. He had complete understanding of it. But Peter was trying to tell him, oh no, that's not going to happen. You're not going to do that. We're not going to go this way. We're going to go another way. And look at what Jesus said. It does. He turns and he says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And you may have family members or friends that you love dearly, but when they have set their mind on the things of man and they're trying to get you to do things that you know you probably shouldn't be doing, then you may have to rebuke them. You have to be willing to say no. But see, he even recognized, even Jesus recognized who was behind Peter. Notice that he doesn't say, get behind me, Peter, but get me behind me, Satan. He recognizes that Satan is using him and that he is the real enemy. Because our heart should always be that none should be lost either. We should be wanting to try to bring things together. And if there's any kind of miscommunication or anything like that, we should be working on that. So notice that he doesn't rebuke Peter as much as he's rebuking Satan. Another weapon that is at our disposal is prayer. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. We have to have faith in our Lord. We have to know that he has got our back, that he is going to take care of us. And when we're really troubled or we're not sure, we don't know what to do, it's a good time to pray. Mark 11, 22 through 25 says this, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. And therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So we're supposed to pray. And pray in faith. Believing that if we're praying in the Father's will, that whatever we're praying for, it'll happen. Prayer is an important tool that's in our toolbox. And sometimes you have to pray out loud. Now, I'm not talking about praying out loud so that you can be a spectacle. But you have to understand, there is a scripture that says that whenever two or more are gathered, two or more agree and pray in agreement that it can be done. Well, that praying in agreement has to be prayed out loud. So sometimes there's a need for corporate prayer. Sometimes there's a need for two or three to gather in prayer. Sometimes you need to pray out loud in your home so that the enemy hears that you are calling on the Lord and that that is where you're putting your faith. But you need to pray out loud. Again, I'm not talking about praying out loud so you could be a spectacle is have people look at me. I'm talking about when you're engaged in spiritual warfare and sometimes you've got to come together or sometimes you need to pray against the enemy. You got to pray out loud. This scripture here, 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5, says, proclaim the word of God and stand upon it no matter what. That is so important. Proclaim the word of God and stand upon it no matter what. Rise to the occasion and preach when it is convenient and when it is not. Ooh, there's times, I won't lie to you, there's times that I'm like, oh, if I could just stay in bed, I don't want to get up. Oh, it's Sunday. Won't be good if the preacher don't show up. Proclaim the word, stand on it. Preach in season and out in season. I'm telling you what, we're hitting a stride where it's kind of getting out of season. People don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that scripture. They don't want to hear you proclaim the truth. They don't want to know what God says. But preach in the full expression of the Holy Spirit with wisdom and patience as you instruct and teach the people. For the time is coming when they will no longer listen and respond to the healing words of truth because they will become selfish and proud. They will seek out teachers with soothing words that line up with their desires, saying just what they want to hear. They will lose their ears to the truth and believe nothing but fables and myths because this is the process that happens. So be alert to all these things and overcome every form of evil. Again, see that? Be alert, be sober, pay attention. Carry in your heart the passion of your calling as a church planter and evangelist and fulfill your ministry calling. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 5. Proclaim God's truth. Proclaim God's truth. And this is where having that word of God comes in handy. Because when you're hearing it, you can say, no, I know the truth. I know the truth. It can even help with the fear, by the way. Do you know when I had COVID and I was really having trouble breathing and my breathing was down to 87 and I was getting a little nervous because it was really hard and laborious to breathe and I was really trying to breathe and I would get a little panicky and that only makes things worse and I knew that makes things worse and see the fear was kicking in, but you know what? I started to tell myself, and I've told a couple people this now, I started to remember the scripture. The scripture says, by his stripes I am healed. I just started thinking about that. By his stripes I am healed. And so I would take a breath in, and when I'd take that breath in, I'd go, I am. And then when I would breathe out, healed. I am healed. I am healed. And I sat in an ER literally from 10 in the morning until 9 p.m. at night. And they said I needed oxygen, but they never gave me oxygen. Never. I even asked for it 3 times, but I never got oxygen. And in order to keep from panicking, I would do that. So you know what? I bet you I said that 1,000 times that day. I didn't feel necessarily any better. I was still struggling with breathing. My oxygen level was still not going up. But just by proclaiming God's word, the fear went away, and I was able to navigate that situation for the entire day, and then some. Proclaim God's truth. Not only will it drive the enemy away, it will calm you down. Proclaim it. Stand on his word. Of course, no sermon would be complete about how to go against the enemy without put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, which is found in Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. But as we're looking at this scripture, I want you to see a few things. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Wanted to read that again. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Sometimes that's all you can do is just stand. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Do you see that? Truth. So you pay attention, you put on your armor, you know that you're under attack, and you're going to put on the truth. The belt of truth is what? It is the Word of God. It is the truth. It's His truth. Nobody else's truth, His truth that you have girded around you. And having put on a breastplate of righteousness, and that's important too, because you see, our righteousness is filthy rags. But His righteousness is what makes us right with God. And that's what righteousness means, to be right with God. And so when we put on a breastplate of righteousness, which surrounds our heart, we are putting on Jesus' righteousness. It is Him who is surrounding our hearts. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Again, that gospel that has to be proclaimed, that word of God that must be spoken. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. A shield of faith. That's where you're proclaiming. That's where you're holding on to the word. That's where you are believing in Him. And take the helmet of salvation. That's where you come under His spiritual covering, His protection, His promises, His word. He's the one who saves. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the Spirit can help you pray in those times when you need to pray. It is the Word. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So you're praying for those who are believers in Jesus Christ. So I saw in that Ephesians the whole thing. Proclaim, preach, pray, pay attention. God's word, His truth. It was all through the armor. But I know it's hard to remember things when you leave here, so I put a bottom line on this sermon. I put something together in a sentence form that I'm hoping that you can leave here and you can take with you the next time you come under attack. And it's this: pay attention, see what is truth, then pray and proclaim out loud. Pay attention, see what is the truth, then pray about it and proclaim out loud. If you will do that, you will not fall to the deceptive lies of the enemy, and you will stand. I don't care if some very charismatic, you know, prophet arrives who's a grand speaker and they're proclaiming all kinds of things and they're doing all kinds of miracles. Everything should line up to the Word of God and to Jesus. And if it doesn't, it's false. Don't fall for it. So be prepared. Start getting into your word more. Know the truth. And don't listen to the lies. Listen to His truth. Shall we pray?